And we're live. Episode 5 of The Oddest Couple.
We're back.
I guess some quick housekeeping. If you haven't done so already, subscribe to the YouTube channel. This is John's YouTube channel.
Hit that button.
Hit the button. Yeah, look in the camera and say hit the button.
Beep. Hit the button. Beep.
Yeah. You know, the classics. Like the video, subscribe, comment, all that good stuff. Honestly, I have to say, well, I'll do that in a second. If you're listening to this right now as well, rate and review, hit the subscribe so you get the notifications every time we drop. If you're on TikTok, follow both John and I on TikTok at, I think your TikTok is at True John A. Light still. Mine is at Felix Levine, and your Instagram is at John A. Light. Mine is at Felix.Levine. So give us a follow. Keep engaging with us. What I was going to say is that truthfully, since we got back a couple weeks ago, the support has been fantastic.
Yeah, it has been.
A lot of people are just, I mean, they seem to be happy that we're back. I think they like our dynamic. I think I really love the episodes. I think they're great. And I'm happy that we're doing this again. And it's seemingly, I think people feel the same. So we're happy to have you. Keep letting us know what you want to see, what you don't want to see, how you feel about the episodes. But I think people like them.
They like them because they see the craziest side to you. And they see that you calmed me down over the years. Yeah,
I've tamed you.
But you're getting worse. You're getting like one of those pit bulls that, you know, get a little out of control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm turning into the criminal and you're turning into the non-criminal.
Yeah. Well, I'm at church a lot now, so.
That's funny. So today, we'll talk about a couple different things, but obviously in the news recently, and I was kind of curious to get your take on this in general, but there was yet another mass shooting. I believe it was Nashville, Tennessee. Tragic. They're all tragic, but once again, a reminder of how tragic everything is. And I was kind of curious from your point of view, and again, you know how the political stuff will keep to a minimum.
Yeah, I don't think it's really political, this stuff.
But actually, I was curious, you know, from with your background and with this stuff in the news, with guns, with all of this violence, kind of getting your take, at least initially, on the state of this country when it comes to this. Because I'll tell you, right, I'm French. You mean, you know this? People that know me know this.
My French glasses.
Oh, yeah, you got the nice French glasses on today.
Boucherons.
Yeah. Like, this stuff doesn't happen in Europe, man. Like, it's crazy. The numbers are insane. Now, whatever people want to say about gun rights this, gun rights that, I actually have different opinions about that. Not that it really matters. And I think that, but there is clearly an issue in this country. And it's crazy because, you know, when I think about one day when I have kids and sending them to school, this shouldn't even be on our minds, right? Like my French friends and my French family, they don't think about school shootings or where having them maybe go to certain parts of France could lead to less strict gun this, gun that. But in this country, it's insane. So I'm kind of curious to get your take, not just from like a legislative level, because then, A, that's, you know, that's more boring and it's political, but more on like a just straight, you know, as somebody who has a violent background, what this looks like to you.
Well, first and foremost is what I always said, is two things in this country doesn't address: mental health and drug addictions. That the money that we're spending around the world, there should be a budget to get mental health help for our kids, and also for people that have drug addictions and habits and alcohol habits. That money, it should be a system built in where someone doesn't have to mortgage their homes to get help for their kids on both fronts. There's so many other ways to use this money that they're not using in mental health, especially after the lockdowns and COVID, the education system that needs to be revamped, the cost of college, mm-hmm. the computer age of technology. All this is contributing to the violent behavior, I believe, and the depression that leads into suicide and some of these acts that are happening, right? They're not really being addressed. Years ago, Dave Gentile, that people know that helped me through my life, and
Former FBI agent.
They did the Forbes article on the two of us. I did talks with them to troubled kids, first-time offenders. And he owned a company, I think it was called Protocol at the time. And we went to different airports, and we were trying to do the security he used me as a consultant, as an ex-criminal, to come in and look at different things. He obviously, on his background as an experienced FBI agent, would assess the dangers of terrorism and different things at the airport. And then he would ask where I thought, as an ex-criminal, where they would come in and different criminal acts at the airport, whether it's, you know, stealing out of people's luggage, as well as bringing in guns, bringing in bombs, weapons, something, you know, that's going to, you know, obviously hurt and try to kill people. Anyway, we discussed this in schools. And I'm talking about some years ago, 7-8 years ago, and it still hasn't been addressed. And I have no idea why this isn't being addressed. And it's a very simple fix. I keep saying the same thing. It's very simple. Budget for certain things in schools, especially the younger schools, where it's very hard to move kids if there's an emergency. Just like what happened now when they're 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. Those ages, for these teachers to put something in place to be able to move kids, that no matter what you say in practice, when it's real and there's panicking and they're crying and they're not, one kid may be in a bathroom, somebody else is somewhere else, how do you stop it?
Now, I'll tell you what a lot of the arguments are. And again, this then gets political, and I really, like, it's, that's not the point of this. But then the arguments are made, take it 10 steps before that, right? The accessibility to different firearms and stuff like that. And I think it's interesting getting your perspective too, as somebody who's dealt with firearms in the past, right? In a weird, this is like kind of like twisted, but like, you're someone who was and is, I mean, some people might make an argument against, was mentally state, you actively knew what you were doing. Also, the mafia is so different, right? You're not like mass shooters. But the accessibility, the fact that like a 18-year-old who might be depressed, who might be having a bad day in some parts of this country, can walk into a Walmart and grab a gun and then go do this, that for me is an issue. That for me is a genuine issue.
Well, here's the issue of guns, and I'll go back to it. And as terrible as some of these incidents are, gun owners, that are legal gun owners, actually have saved hundreds of lives, that by having the use of a firearm to protect themselves, than the loss of life. And this is the part they're not speaking about. And I'll give you an example. I was a criminal. I'll always get my hand on guns as a criminal. I'm going to pretend that I'm a criminal today, like I was back then. If I go into a zone they're talking about in Manhattan now, it's a gun-free zone. Mm-hmm. Guys like yourself aren't going to carry a gun. Legal gun owners will not break the law. They won't carry a gun. They're going to leave their guns at home. But me and my friends, we're bringing our guns. So we're going to bring them anywhere that we feel like bringing them. So that's not going to stop us. It's also not going to stop these shootings, because they're going to get illegal guns if you're a kid.
You see like these kids, it's kids. Some of these are fucking kids, man. 17, 18, 19, 20, that are depressed. That again, with the mental health, that we agree 1,000,000%. Yeah. But you and I both know, with people that have, let's say, schizophrenic and scary tendencies, we don't know what they'll do on any moment. And I think for me, the issue is that it's far too easy for those people. On a teacher gave them a C+, and they said, fuck it, I'm going, today's the day. That's my breaking point. Boom. And so even, okay, sure, the argument about, you know, like, some people have been saved by gun, like legal gun owners. And I know a ton of legal gun owners. It's great. Like these are smart people that I would trust with anything.
But
right?
You can't punish the legal gun owner protecting their family.
Well, I'm not saying punish. I'm just saying that there's got to be an in between, right? Because you see, when I watch like interviews of these parents that had not 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds. You got to tell yourself, and this is the only country where this happens, right? And I sound like a crazy liberal when I say it, but I really, that's not the point, is it's so heartbreaking. There's no way that somebody can look at the mother of a 6-year-old who got shot and not feel like there's got to be something you have to do.
Well, I'm going to tell you what you, and I understand your point, and believe me, and here's my explanation for all this. Go to Venezuela and find out why you can't take the Second Amendment here. Because of the abuse of these government-controlled countries, that abuse their citizens. And this is what the Second Amendment was for. The Second Amendment is also for, there's so many ex-military, experienced people, ex-police officer, experienced people that should be placed at every school and institute in this country.
Yeah, but why do we even have to get to that point? Most countries because don't got to do that.
Most countries don't have to do that, but most countries, first, aren't the size of this country. So you have 350 million people in this country, every ethnic background, every religion. And what the main source of the problem is that we're not addressing. It's like anything else. If the water's going high, you turn it off, right? But we're not turning off the mental illness here. We're not even trying to help it.
Yeah, but there's mentally ill people in China. There's mentally ill people in France. There's mentally ill people in Germany. These don't happen.
Well, you don't have the size of this country again. Well, in China, you do.
But even they're looking at, like, if you see, and you and I could, like, this is more, I think this is more an interesting conversation, first and foremost. Like, you look at the data, it's not even close. The data is insane, right? And that.
But if you get the data of how many people are using a legal gun to kill, it's, I think, 1%.
There was one interesting article. I want to try to bring it up.
Well, while you're trying to bring that up, I want to tell you something. The guns that save lives way, way outnumber the loss of life by guns. Way, way outnumber it. So when people are saying, well, this isn't necessary, here's the problem. And I'm going to tell you what, and without getting political again. The rich, they have protection. The rich have walls around the house. The rich have law enforcement and private security around them. The rich have ADT. What is that, ADT, the alarm system?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The poverty stricken or the middle class can't afford that stuff. And when you get on top of less police, who's going to protect your family? Who's going to protect your children? If, you know, I don't have the luxury of owning a gun anymore because I abused it. And I get that and I understand that. But the people that want to protect their children and family when someone breaks in to kill them or rape them, and we can go into statistics, where does that good father, man, abiding citizen, how does he protect his family? Is it, you know, when they get killed, when they die, or look at the four kids that just got killed at college in Utah. If one of them had a gun legally, you're able to stop that four murders. Or, you know, but that doesn't occur if you get, I don't know how many home invasions there are, and go through the statistics of how many rapes and murders, and if they had a gun to protect themselves, that doesn't happen. I just believe that the middle ground is no different, and to get to the point of your original question is, there is so much, such good technology now that they can have, just like prison system, and it can look like a home, it can look very friendly, not intimidating. There's so many metal detectors now that could be posted in the parking lot. So the minute somebody walks out, the technology is that good to stop it. And you can also have door systems that automatically work from the inside out. You can't get into one door, and once you do, you can't get through a second. But you're also talking about 2023. And it's a different era, it's a different time.
Yeah, but to kind of counter your argument, if I'm playing devil's advocate, is like, wouldn't, if also the use of funds are so poorly allocated, wouldn't we rather allocate our funds towards mental health than getting an extra ADT system in a school or a second extra door in a school?
Well, I don't think it's one thing. You're going to have to do major. You're going to have to do like anything else.
Like you don't
a three
think,
or
you don't
four
think,
prong
okay,
system.
Okay, okay. I'm curious, and this is like the only political question. You don't think that? I'm not saying abolish the Second Amendment. You don't think we could do a little bit better in terms of a little bit stricter, so that a psychologically ill 19-year-old can't just walk in and grab a gun? A little bit. I'm not saying get rid of just a little bit stricter.
Here's my answer to that. There's a young Spanish kid in Spanish Harlem who's 6 years old, and his dad's holding his hand and he's walking him to school. Tell me why that father can't protect his six-year-old son, but yet a senator walking to work gets to have armed security with him. Why is that fair that his life's more important than that six-year-old?
Well, that, look, if we talk about politicians and corruption and that.
Well, I'm not just saying politicians. I'm saying anybody who's very wealthy.
But then
they get to protect their families' lives. And but the people that aren't
this, I agree.
So when they say this, they're saying to you, your life isn't worth as much as ours because I'm rich and you're poor.
Okay,
and that Spanish guy's going to work and he can't afford to have private security.
But to my question, right, but then if you make the argument that the dad walking a six-year-old to school, then that means every single person in this country should have a firearm.
I believe so, actually.
John, you know how crazy somebody... Let's think of four people in your life that you don't want around a gun.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying every person. You have to pass a mental capability to carry a gun. You should be, obviously, you should be...
Okay, so stricter. That's what I'm saying.
Because the problem is they are abusing the strictness of the Ozil's laws. What they always do, when I don't believe in big government. You know, people don't like their parents to tell them what to do. Yet they're okay with the government keep overstepping their bounds.
Right.
This is a problem because you're letting certain individuals, right, when they get power, and it's through history, not just this government, because it's really not political. Through history, the more power you give an individual, the more power they try to take, whether it's the mafia, whether it's a CEO of a company. The more power you keep giving individuals, the more power they take, the more rights of an other individual do they take. And this is the problem with power.
That I agree 1,000,000%.
How do you stop that?
All I'm saying.
I'm going to say one more thing. Okay, political. Okay.
you win the getting to talk political today.
Okay.
Because I usually kick him under the table 12 times.
It doesn't matter if you like Hunter Biden or dislike Hunter Biden.
Here we come with Hunter Biden.
No, it doesn't matter. I don't want to make it about them really. But abused the law, right? Why is he different than the kid from my neighborhood when he's falsifying documents? You want to make stronger law, right? You're falsifying documents, but you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to get a gun. And we also made a trade agreement with the biggest arm dealer around for what was her name? Greiner, the girl, the basketball player that was Brittany in Russia. Griner. So this is the problem I have with power and governments. Because the individual in our neighborhoods is not being safe.
It doesn't remove the fact that we agree. A lot of things we agree, we can go back and forth for literally days, right? It just doesn't, in my opinion, and I know some people will be like, oh, this, that. It doesn't remove the fact that these tragedies, they're horrible. They're horrible, and there's got to be something that we need to do. And it's not. And to say it's a mental health thing, I know a lot of mentally ill people that don't do this.
But let me tell you what the problem is. What have we done in 10 years to change this? It keeps happening, and they haven't done one thing to change it.
Well, that's the whole
thing. They haven't put anything in place.
Now we're going to get political.
Well, I'm going to tell you. Here's some of the things I want to tell you. Do you see the money they're charging for college education?
Okay, this we agree with.
Okay, so why, if you're going to pay that much money for college education, let's start at the higher level, then why isn't there more security at these schools? Because their coffers of these colleges are ridiculous. The money that these deans of these colleges are ridiculous. So why aren't their lives being protected more then?
Yes, but I think that the argument still is a little bit far-fetched. Like, what, we should have armed guards at every classroom? Is that the argument?
Not every classroom, but you should have them at the school entrances.
Yeah, they do sometimes. I just graduated.
And some of them do, but I'm talking about the younger schools. Anywhere up to high school, every school from up to high school, kindergarten up.
And I'll tell you though, like I'll tell you, security. I went to school in Beacon, which is in the city. It's 44th and 10th. And to get into that building, there was like four security guards all strapped. And there was it was pretty like, even like parents, I remember when parents would want to sign in, like it took like fucking 2-3 minutes because they were
It's too bad that they're a little uncomfortable to sign in.
No, I think that was great. I think it was like a perfect amount, right?
Okay, but how many incidents did the Beacon have at the school?
Well, Beacon is also, none.
Exactly, because armed guards there.
Yeah, but there's also differences, John. Like, you're talking about New York City. You're talking about Midtown. Like, you think even to get a gun into Midtown illegal, like, you're already looking at a lot of shit, right?
Let me tell you something. People rob armored cars and banks in the middle of the city. The deterrent, the deterrent is also when a guy scopes out something. Actually, this last shooter did scope out and seen this was the easiest school to go to get into. There was actually a map by the shooter.
Yeah, it was like a manifesto.
Yes,
right?
It's a manifesto where. They researched where's the easiest place. People always find a soft zone. As a criminal, And I tell, we discuss this. There's accidents and there's bad luck and there's, well, you put yourself in bad luck. In other words, you grow up and you live in Beverly Hills. Not a problem. But go down to Compton, right? Wear yuppies, you know, the shoes, the hush puppies. Wear a collared shirt. Put on a pair of glasses and see if you made yourself a victim. It's the way you carry yourself, the way you dress, the way you go somewhere. You know, and I'm not saying, now, say we're from the street. We go to those neighborhoods, no one bothers you because they know the way you carry yourself. So there's always, you're making yourself a victim, and these schools are making themselves a target, because instead of paying each of these deans and principals and allocating money for nonsense, and I bet you I could go through their budget.
Oh, and, we agree. We agree on the budget. I know the dean of my old school made like $2 million a year.
So why is $1 million given to armed security at that school and cut his salary in half?
But again, look, I think that the salary should go to the teachers.
I think this is back to the rich and the poor again.
Yes and no. I guess my only final question, then we should move on from this, is...
I like the subject.
I know you do, which is why I want to move on from it. Is the final question is, why is it that a mentally ill, and I'm not talking somebody who's depressed, who has depression, I'm talking about somebody who's psychologically ill, right? Why is it easy enough for them to get their hands on a firearm? That's kind of what it boils down to, in my opinion.
Okay, but I know.
Why is it too easy?
Okay, I never bought a gun legally in my life. I know. How many guns I had? Yeah, I know where I got them all from? Underground, from Mexico, from everywhere.
Yes, but John, you were a trained criminal.
Yeah, but you could take...
These are fucking depressed, but, weird fucking 18-year-olds.
Okay, but seeing that same weird, depressed 18-year-old is so intelligent, technology.
No, some of them are really dumb.
Well, some of them are, but it's like anything else. If you want drugs, you'll find drugs.
If that's what your intent is, you'll learn how to do it. You know this better than anybody, right? If there's only one hurdle to get to the drug, you'll get over the hurdle. If there's two hurdles to get to the drug, if you're really motivated, you'll get over both hurdles. If there's three, I can go on. But if there's seven or eight, and that seventh and eighth hurdle is a really big hurdle, well, shit, the 18-year-old who has no real life experience and is fucking a loopy, it'll be harder for them to get there. And maybe in less of 100 mass shootings a year, there's 40, because the other 40 were really fucking motivated. And then all government, Republicans, Democrats alike, will figure out, okay, of the 40, we got to add a ninth and a 10th hurdle to make it to 20. And then let's add an 11th and a 12th hurdle so that the people, the good people, because I agree, I know a lot of amazing people that are strapped. Those people, because they'll pass those tests, they'll have no issues. And then as a country, we won't have to go every few weeks with the thoughts and prayers.
But I'll break your argument in one thing.
Let's
see. The strictest state gun laws in this country does not work. They have the most shootings.
What
place like California is very strict with gun laws. Look at the gun, the shootings there. So you could take states that are very strict with their gun laws, and they have a lot more shootings than other states. And then you have states that have lenient gun laws that don't have that many shootings. That's why if you look at this stuff, I still say the same thing. Some of what you're saying could change, but some of it is about working on, first thing, I think, no matter what, psychological and mental care has to be started in schools. You know where you have classes in math and English? And you have different, first of all, our students are going down, down, and down, which hurts. The less education you get, the more problems you're going to have psychologically, and intelligence is a big thing about crime.
So you have
to be intelligent.
I have a question. Yes.
Education's important.
We agree. Of course, nobody who's educated and nobody who's mentally stable is doing any of this, right? We agree. Do you think your opinion would change if... And I obviously I don't want to like make a horrible example.
Something happened personally, you're
right?
Saying.
And you have a very young grandson, right? Lovely, we love him, right? For me, as somebody who one day wants to have children, right? The idea that I would send my 5 or my 6-year-old to school and even have to worry about this is fucking nuts, right? And I think the same way that when something touches you and you know when tragedy affects your family and you've been through a fuck ton of shit over your lifetime, right? It hits home, right? And I think that people's opinions change on certain things. That's why I'm curious about your take on that, right? If something, whether it's you personally or one of your friends' kids, right? I have a feeling that the level of urgency would maybe change. And that's why I think, like, for people who are adjacent to situations like this, they might have had a stance, a beginning stance, but when it hits home, you're like, wow.
Well, I could give you an example. Where I used to live in Voorhees, off of 73 and Crescent Road, there's a school, elementary school, right? And I'd go to that elementary school, and they asked me to come in and talk. And I spoke, this is years ago, and I spoke to a couple of the teachers. Mm-hmm. I spoke, it wasn't a big forum, but it was a small forum. And they asked me, and I talked about security there. It was in an open ground, and the woods were on the other side of the ground. And I laughed, and I smiled at them, and I said, the problem with every situation that anybody shows me as a person that looks at things different because I was grew up on the street, I says, you're waiting for an incident to occur here before you fix it. And they says, what do you mean?
I agree.
I says, you have kids playing in a yard that backs up to the woods, and it's only going to take one of these kids to disappear, and then you're going to fix it. So why isn't the fence there first, right? That's the first thing. Second, I used to walk in that school anytime I felt like it. Nobody stopped me. Nobody asked me, who are you? How am I getting in so easily?
Think about 9/11, not to make it.
Yeah.
I mean, airport security, granted I wasn't flying at that time because I was just born, was nothing. You remember. And then 9/11 happens, and then everything changed, right, in terms of airport security. And now you see what airport security is right now. And I think that that's awesome, right? Like, every time I go through airport security, it's a pain in the ass. Granted, I have TSA PreCheck, which is great. But it's a pain in the ass. But I'm happy I do it because I know I'm going to get on the flight. I know we're good. You know what I mean? And that for me is a good moment where a monumental historical moment happened in 9/11, one of the worst days in American history. And both sides were like, okay, something here has got to change. And this is, for me, not that much different in a lot of ways. It's like, why can't we all agree that this shit's a problem? That's my only thing.
Because there's not, you know, we just cut, a lot of states cut with this. Again, we got to, whether we like it or not, we got to say it. They just did a lot of cutting with police budgets. There should be a team of police, of SWAT, just there is with SWAT with everything. There should be an emergency button in all these schools, silent alarms, whatever you want to call it, directly to different precincts that are closest to each school district, where a team of these officers are waiting. Actually, the response on this last incident was incredible.
From what I understand, most of these shootings, like, the response is very, I don't think really like SWAT and all that stuff is good. My dad actually did a piece on SWAT teams in Rochester, so he got very close to them. He was there with them for months, and he was telling me, he's like, Felix, the training is unbelievable. I mean, these guys are so talented. They're so smart. They're so good at what they do. Like, they know how every situation, you were trained, right? And you think you were good. I mean, these guys know, like, angles in this.
Well, let's
and that.
Talk about hoops. You play basketball, right? You can't just go out and play the game. You got to practice.
Oh, for sure.
So in anything, there's got to be, money's got to be put into.
Unless you're Allen Iverson. Unless you're Allen Iverson.
Yeah. Michael Jordan. But, you know, for the most part, you really got to put time into responding and
we agree.
And coordinating. And I think these guys actually did. And I got to give a shout out also, like I always do, to Mitch, to Mitch, Chief Mitch Little in
Ocean County. I was
about to
say Mitch McConnell, and then we were going to.
Yeah. never Mitch McConnell. And because he's tactically, he has great programs for his offices and with the community. These are the things that, and I'm always talking, everybody knows that. I talk to pro police, and I believe in the way I say it. And we explained how I mean and what I think of it. Listen, nothing in this world's perfect. They need to do something. Year after year, we're having these shootings and these occurrences, and yet they're not doing anything to change it. Listen, they need to sit down with community leaders, stop. And it doesn't matter what the changes and what it's going to be, but it needs to be a group, a coalition of people to agree on it. It can't just be, it's like anything else. If you stay with me and we go down the block and we see a couple of kids fight and you jump in to stop the fight, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's only one thing you're stopping. That's not stopping the bleeding of the overall problem. How do you stop the overall problem? They're not really being serious with these talks. They get political. We talk about not talking political. Like, you know, Biden made a speech the other day. I'm going to take away. He knows that he ain't taking it away. He can't even get it passed. It's just bullshit rhetoric for votes. So forget about both sides of the aisle about politics. Talk about saving kids' lives and families' lives. You know, there was a woman, you know, some of the bad incidents we're talking about, but some of the good, the woman that was in a car, you remember? It was just recently, it was about a year ago. And a guy pulled up to a school to shoot, and a woman had a legal carry and killed the guy. And who knows how many people that guy would have killed. You just don't, because she had a legal carry. So I could give you the other side of the argument.
Yeah, but I could give you the other side of that particular incident.
Remember what I said. But states with the most strictest gun laws have the worst shootings.
But what I'm saying is also, in that case, maybe that guy wouldn't have had access to his gun in the first place, so we wouldn't even have needed that woman either.
I just
More often than not, that's the case. It's not more often than not, oh, a beautiful, this pedestrian has also a gun when this school shooter's
going. Listen, when people want to do something, they want to kill, if it ain't with a gun, they're going to walk in with a sword and they can chop six.
Yeah, but and this is going to sound gruesome, right? But, and you as somebody who knows the technicalities, right? You know, I'm not trying to get like gross about it. But I mean, we're talking about assault rifles that fire off at an insane rate. So if they want to go in with a sword, then at least school secure. Like, I'm not, you know, it's not like, oh, this is better, but whatever. Okay, you know what I think is interesting, regardless of this discussion of the actual debate, is that I think it's interesting to hear your perspective. Well, I think it's interesting because going back and forth on
this
any
This is
subject,
the most important thing, though.
Okay.
What you just said, us being able to go back and forth, taking two different stances, is what America's about. They're losing that. Doesn't matter if you're right, or doesn't matter if I'm right, or doesn't matter if we're both a little right.
And at the end of the day, I know
you should be able to keep doing this.
You don't want you of all people, also, like, we agree at the base, right? Which is, we don't want anybody's lives
to be lost.
To be lost, period. 100%. How you get there is how you get there.
Right.
And you might have ways of thinking how you get there. I might have ways of thinking. And at the end of the day, what's great about us is, like, we're gonna end this show, and then we'll go and banter and go to dinner and have fun and have a great time, right? And so I agree that
can't stop opinions.
I agree.
I'm gonna tell you, and we're gonna end the segment, but I gotta say something. Stanford University, they're all going to be lawyers. They heckled the judge off of talking. This is what you're going to do for a living, is fight cases that you're on another side of.
Yeah.
So it's almost incredible to me to not let the guy talk, because you're going to be attorney. Let him talk and then beat him up on your view, right? That's what you're supposed to be doing for a living in the future. So if you stop the speaking and the talking, like if me and you just sit here and go, okay, we're not going to talk because we can't disagree, so we're never going to talk about it. This is insane.
I agree.
And see that we agree.
Yeah. No, and I have to the only place where I have to give you credit in the win category today is that you were able to get me talking about something political for 30 minutes.
Ding, ding, ding.
He's been trying for like 4 years. I held you off for like 4 years, though.
Yeah. I'm going to get you. I'm going to lean you back. Somebody just said this the other day. I forget who they said. I think it was, they said, whoever it was, they were talking politically. And he said, listen, I voted, he goes, he said, I'm an independent. I voted Democrat at one time. Then I voted Republican. Then I voted them. I think common sense thinking for the people that say, I'm a Democrat no matter what, is ridiculous. I'm a Republican no matter what, is ridiculous.
But,
you know, you should be able to just say, listen, I just want to be a thinker, a normal, be able to go through policies and say, hey, what's best for this, 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 and this, and be able to discuss it. The problem is no one wants to discuss anything anymore.
That I agree. And you know what's funny is, like, there was one comment of saying, like, Felix is a liberal.
I actually wrote the guy, got mad.
Or John is conservative. And I think, like, it's so funny because, like, knowing you, you're really, there's some things that you would say, right, that you have opinions on that are more traditionally conservative, but there's also things that you have opinions on that are more traditionally liberal, yeah. Right, and I would even say that there's some things, whatever, about myself, I don't, like, sure, both can be maybe more down the middle, but I think, like, my issue in general is when it comes to politics, and that's why I try to stray away from it on these shows that, like, we joke about it, but the reason I try to stray away, if anybody's wondering, is more because, A, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to anybody else, right? If they care, that's okay, you care, but I don't know why you care. And B, my issue in general with politics today, it's that it's become this, like, this fucking basketball game where you're either on the Lakers or you're on the Knicks. And you, once you're on each team, you can't even switch over to the other one.
See, I love talking about politics for the reason of you're able to convince me sometimes mm-hmm. of changing some of the things I said. And if we don't discuss it, and it's not an argument, it's a discussion.
I agree.
And this is the problem people are missing. And, you know, recently it was the abortion, and people are attacking each other. Well, maybe you have a good point. But if you're screaming, yelling, and threatening each other, how are you going to get that point across without a discussion?
You know what's so wild is that you saying that, you were a former mob hitman in the mafia, and you're talking about don't be violent, don't be screaming, and have a discussion. So if you're saying that, that is so concerning about the rest of this country, right?
Because it's really crazy now. Yeah, no, I know. I'm saying to myself, reasonable. They're nuts.
Imagine you, John Ayla, in the year 2023 are telling people to be reasonable and sit down and have a conversation.
Because I learned the hard way. Exactly. It doesn't work.
And that's what I'm saying. And what yeah. I'm saying is that imagine, like, that's why for me it's powerful that you say something like that, because maybe for somebody out there that's just been screaming over somebody else who's been screaming at over them, and they haven't listened to each other in an hour of screaming, that coming from somebody who was violent, and that was your method of getting a point across back in the day, that you realized through your experience, and you suffered, you went to jail for 20 years because of it, that the way to actually do anything progressive or productive, let's say, is to sit down and have a conversation, and you agree, you disagree, you shake your hand after, and you get up and you walk out and you go grab a pizza.
I was in Georgia. I was coming out of a gas station, you know, where they have the stores and everything, and I opened the door for a woman, and she went in and she said, thank you. And I says, you're welcome, ma'am. And she says, oh, finally a gentleman. And I says, well, I believe in equal rights, so you can open the next door for me, you know, joking. And she left, and I figured who I was telling a story to. And I went back in, and I got I wore a cowboy hat. And I says, and I joked around afterwards, and I bowed the hat to her. She was an elderly woman. And I said to her, you know what the problem, I says, is people not understanding. You could still be a gentleman, open the door, and you could still have equal rights, man mm-hmm. and woman. Right? There's nothing wrong with opening the door. And I know a lot of people are like, well, she wants equal rights. Let her open the door for me. You know, so, you know, and here's the point. I understand their point also, right? Because I joke around a lot about it, right? But the thing is, if we're not able to say that and somebody gets mad, that's the problem. The cutting off of the freedom of speech, of talking, it doesn't got to be, you know, argumentative, and it doesn't have to be aggressive. It just could be a conversation. Why is everybody so scared to talk now? Things have changed in the last 20 years. Well, everybody's afraid to talk. What are you afraid to talk about? If you have a valid point, why not bring it across? And you know, remember years ago, well, you probably don't because you're young, but years ago, you would go in our schools and we would debate. It was a debate class. You'd go up and you debate. You give your version and you give your version. And there is really, a lot of times, there's no right or wrong. There might be, but at some point you might meet in the middle and say, yeah, I do see your point now. And if you're not able to do that to me, how am I ever going to change the way I think?
I just finished school recently, right? I'll tell you, it's a problem. What you're saying is exactly true. You know?
Well, as you get older, and you're like 27 now, whatever age you are, your values will keep changing.
No, I agree. And you know, and that's too funny.
By the way,
the right people are listening to that.
Chuck, it's my friend Chuck's birthday today. We got
Chuck Schumer.
Chuck, we had him on the show before, and it's his birthday. He's out in Utah. Happy birthday, brother.
Now you're giving away the fact that we recorded this a little bit before we released it.
Why?
Well, because
I said today. Nobody knows when today is.
And nobody knows when
we can debate on this.
And nobody knows when Chuck's birthday is either.
Yeah, Chuck, don't tell anybody exact day of birthday.
Anyways, too funny. I think let's wrap there. I think that people, man, they got their good dose of politics. I don't know if maybe they'll be lucky to get a second round sometime.
Listen, I'm not selling guns on my website. Thank I sell baseball bats.
That's even worse.
Yeah. Order a bat. Just, it's for baseball. Please remember I said that.
Yeah, we might have to edit that part out. anyways, anything that we want to plug other than that?
I'm trying to think what we got coming up shortly, but no, we'll plug it.
No, we'll keep.
Hit the subscribe if you like it.
The subscribe button.
And you're allowed to give opinions on our show.
Yeah, no, comment.
I want to hear about the. I swear, you know, I love the political forum. I'm not against anybody giving their opinion. I really like a lot of these shows when they have the groups up, and some are, you know, conservative, some are Republican, some are independent. I forget the other guy's name. He goes on Fox, Harold. Do you know who that is? Anyway, he's pretty good because he's an even-keel gentleman, well-spoken. I like him. He leans a little bit to the left. I think he's a Democrat.
But oh, so you like Democrats?
I like Bill Maher. Everybody knows that. You know, I talk about Bill Maher all the time because I think he's a free thinker. And here we go. He doesn't like Donald Trump, but that's okay. You don't got to like everybody I like. I just think that he's an objective free thinker, and you know, he's just honest.
I might clip this.
Bill Maher.
I might clip this and say John Nalight is officially a Democrat. And that's gonna be the clip.
If you bring Bill Clinton back, yes. If you bring Hillary, I'll hang up.
Oh, Jesus. Anyways, appreciate you guys listening. We'll see you guys next time for another episode of The Oddest Couple. Subscribe to John's Instagram at John Nalight. His YouTube channel, John Nalight, search it. Push notifications so you get notified every time we drop a new video version of the episode. Listen to it. Follow me on Instagram at felix.levine, and we will see you next time.
See you guys.